You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You're listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review.
What a bizarre thing we've created.
Now with your hosts, Adam Thorne and Mark Hampton.
This might either be the worst podcast or the best one of all time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the JRE Review. Joined today, as always, by Mark.
What's happening, guys?
How are you, Mark?
I'm good. I got my new microphone. I'm excited. Hopefully it won't sound like shit.
Good.
It won't sound like shit anymore.
I can't wait to hear what it sounds like.
I know.
Well, I mean, the next thing is making sure that I also edit both lines of audio together. Regardless of how good you're... Shit, man, I can't believe I did that.
How much do I really add to the show? It could be just like... It could just be like Mad Libs. It'd be like, when you're quiet, they can just pretend they're part of the podcast. It's a choose your own adventure podcast.
The other person talks.
Yeah. I feel like we may be onto something.
Choose which direction it goes next. You disagree in a whole new stream. Imagine how long it would take to record those podcasts.
I think the lesson to be learned here is don't try to mix a podcast when you are high on LSD and mushrooms.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
nope.
I mean, for
taking
you,
notes.
I will still continue to do it, but...
What? Will it work fine for 174 other podcasts?
Hey, man.
But, dude,
if you were a baseball player, happens. You would have a billion-dollar contract, because you're hitting, like, $9.99. So, like,
yeah.
Shit.
I don't know. I would have been pissed. So, for the fans out there, I apologize.
Sorry, guys.
It will not happen again. I will keep an eye on this. This week, we got some good ones. It's cool because there's kind of a theme. It goes from like philosopher to conspiracy theorist, you know, comedic legend to physicist.
Mm-hmm.
So nice flow. And then it goes into musicians, which we'll get to. And we're also next week going to do another version of our special edition podcasts. For the Bill Burr episode, obviously, and also his new comedy special. So sometimes these take a little bit longer to put together because we're matching up two things.
Right.
And when it comes to watching his special, you know, we want to do it justice because we're huge fans. So we want to kind of put our thoughts together for that one. But
yeah, exactly.
Stay tuned.
Exactly. So, and it's been a weird 2 weeks.
It's going to be good.
You were out of town. I was swamped with. I've had more comedy shows in the last couple of weeks than I've had in my entire life, so like it's just been a whole bunch of shit, but we're getting it together.
Yeah, which is super important, but again, we don't get paid for this.
No, we don't.
We love it. We enjoy it.
Love it.
It's a great time for us to hang out, and I'm glad that people listen, and we'll get better, and it'll be more interesting, but yeah, when you don't get paid to do something that you end up spending 15 hours a week trying to put together, it's not always easy. Not always easy.
Not
but anyway,
always.
Podcast 1350, Nick Bostrom. So Nick is a philosopher from like Austria or something.
Right.
Interesting guy, obviously. Philosophers are. They're weird dudes. And first off, you got to think, I mean, if you went to college, you know that going to college and then studying philosophy is likely not going to end up giving you a job.
Right,
so you're going to do something that's, go on.
That's the old adage. The whole is like, you know, you can. Why are you majoring in philosophy? You can't get a job. Like, yeah, but you'd be smart.
Yeah, you could.
You'd be able to critically.
You could probably get a better job if you were basket weaving degree.
Yeah, exactly.
Do they have basket weaving degrees?
They do. I have one. It has not led to anything.
Your basket's
I'm kidding.
Terrible,
no, I dropped out of it. I dropped out. It was too hard.
You must have gone to community college basketball.
I did.
School.
I definitely
still cost
did.
Like 60 grand.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean,
so
for life.
He teaches you know, and at a good school. And you got to think on the highest end, if you're going to get a degree doing that, you better be teaching it, because then you can just teach other people that will eventually not get jobs unless they're teaching as well.
Exactly.
So at best, you're really benefiting 1% of your class.
Right.
So if you have a class of 30 people, you need over three classes to even get one person to eventually become a philosophy professor.
Right.
But you come out with some interesting theories, and his theory, which is why Joe had him on, was all about simulation theory, right?
Right, yep.
So this, like, probability mechanism. And Joe was having a really hard time wrapping his head around it, and to be honest, I was too.
I'm not
a fucking philosopher.
I've always had a problem understanding it, like, just wrapping my head around it.
Yeah. So let's sum it up, right?
Yes.
To the best of my understanding of what Nick was trying to say, he said, so there's basically like three rules that go into this like probability theory. One is that this is just normal life that exists, no simulation.
Right.
And that's it. It just continues that way, right? The second one was that... Fuck. See? It's already too difficult to remember. The second one was like we're existing and we're in a simulation.
Right.
Right, we are part of it. And the third, I guess, was that it was before the simulation has happened.
Right.
But I was in the same position as Joe, because what Joe was getting stuck with was the idea that this could be normal time right now, and the simulation has not been created yet, but it might be one day.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the philosopher wouldn't separate that from the fact that it doesn't matter if it will eventually be made, right? Even if it's eventually made. Because if it's eventually made, then after a time, we make a machine that's
right.
Like the size of a moon, like mm-hmm. a fucking... moon-sized computer, and it can run a simulation as complex as the entire universe within it.
Right.
So for all aspects of reality, that is as real as what's happening outside it.
Right, it's your
because
programming.
The things in wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know.
Yeah, doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can make one of those, we can make a billion of them. And then, according to probability theory, you don't separate out the real universe from the other billion simulations.
Mm.
They're just, it's like putting balls in a bag. And each one, each simulation counts as one, and so does reality counts as one. And then you swirl your hand in the bag and pull one out. What are your chances of pulling out the real reality, which is ours?
Right.
Well, one in like a billion. It's not likely. So his point is, if any simulations exist in your timeline of your universe...
Mm-hmm.
The chances are you're in one.
Right.
Right. That's what I think he was getting at. It's very complicated. I barely understand it. But Joe would not accept that, as we all heard. He
right.
did not like that answer.
Not a fan.
He was like, well, maybe we're in the universe before the simulation is created. But the guy wouldn't allow that. The philosopher was like, no, it doesn't make a difference if we're there before. The probability balls are still the same because the timeline's already happened.
Right.
It doesn't matter what the timeline is of the universe.
Well, time is a construct of the universe.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're counting it, right, as
right.
something that happened within it, it doesn't matter when it did happen or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could go back to the dinosaurs and be there with a time machine, and if eventually... a life form came along that could create billions of simulations, then that time with the dinosaurs is just as likely to be one of the simulations. Like, you just wouldn't know.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't. It's, what do you think? Let's go into it. What do you think? What do you think about it?
I thought it was super compelling, you know?
It's pretty interesting.
It was a little amusing to me that Joe was... almost getting, I mean, he was defensive almost
angry.
In his argument.
Uh-huh.
He got a little angry. That's unlike him, but I think he was just struggling. You know what it's like when you're struggling to like grasp a concept, and it was very confusing.
Welcome to philosophy.
And to give him credit,
right?
Yeah, I didn't study it. I mean, to give him credit, when I'm just sat there listening, I'm listening to make notes to do a podcast,
right? Of course.
So I don't have to know it all right now.
Exactly. You don't have to know it all ever.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I don't have to respond to him in the moment while he's speaking.
Right.
I can sit there confused and not say anything. But Joe has to say something back. He has to try and formulate what he's just heard. And it's harder to do in the moment, to be fair. So I think he struggled. Like, maybe later when he walked away, he's like, I kind of see what they're saying now.
Exactly.
But it was very confusing. Dude, to be honest, it's a fun thing to think about. It's like reading a sci-fi novel.
Totally.
You know, like The Matrix or whatever. But I cannot be bothered, honestly, to even concern myself with it.
100%. That's exactly how I feel. I'm like my girlfriend years ago, she was like, yeah, I watched this incredible documentary on like simulation theory. And my first thought was, we'll never know. We'll never know. Like, so I'm not going to worry about it. And that's kind of how that's how I feel about a lot of things. Like, I don't know. So what does it matter? I mean, it's fun to talk about, but there's no way to know. If it's just one simulation...
Well, there kind of is, though.
Is there?
His idea was this, right? It kind of is. Like, we can never prove God. That's right. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the way that would all be set up, and we don't even know what we're looking at.
Of course.
But we would kind of know what a simulation is if we make one. So if we make them... Right? And then we watch the simulations. If they do the same shit as us, and then even start making their own simulations within the simulation, there's a good chance that, because of probability, we could extrapolate the fact that we were in one. Because, other than being like that ecocentric thinking, where it's like we're the center of the universe type of thinking that we've always kind of had, and the more we've discovered, we realize we're not even close to anything near the center.
Right.
You know? It's just the idea that, we made a simulation, so why wouldn't something have made it for us? I mean, it's almost as plausible as like a Big Bang type reality setup. It just couldn't. I mean, it's we couldn't even get close to suggesting that it's real with any certainty until we make one, until we have computer systems large enough to do it, and until we decide to do
We've
it.
Got the Sims.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, we got the Sims, though.
Yeah, I mean that really. I mean, maybe to them they are like the shittiest version of like maybe they in their silly little sim brains think that they're alive.
Could be.
But the idea is that we have to replicate the entire universe. Exactly.
Right.
It would have to be, yeah. Otherwise, it's just a game, and then it's like, well, that's not anything. But, right. If the computer was set up that way, it could run the entire length of the universe in 10 minutes from start to finish, and then we could watch it happen and be like, oh, shit, look at all this shit happening.
So we're basically just the end of Men in Black when the galaxy's on Orion's belt. It's like we're just kind of like that. We're just a thumbnail or a thumb drive on Orion's belt type of thing. You know, you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just all we are.
Yeah, and those at the very, very end, those two aliens just like playing dice
or
whatever.
Playing
marbles.
Marbles, yeah, with the universe. Mm. I'd be down.
One thing I really liked about the way he described how we see simulation theory. And even though he kind of like Nick formatted the idea of simulation theory as we know it,
right?
Because he put it within these three rules that I obviously cannot properly remember because I'm too stupid. And he just created like a logical way of thinking with it. So it's like, okay, this gives some credence to it. But ever since computers were invented, he was saying, like the 50s, like good ones, ones that actually did any real computing,
right?
He was like that the people then thought that we were like either like 10 years away from AI or 10 years away from like being able to create a simulation. Like they're just people's, I mean, they were so blown away by what computers were And I think that from like the very first computer to the second to the third, there were like some huge jumps in computing. Because, you know, it started off so basic.
Right, of course.
It was just like knobs and fucking dials. And then they actually added some like real processing.
Right.
In whatever way. And then they were like, holy shit, in 10 years, we'd be fucking, you know, flying cars and all the rest. Like, they thought that there would be just such a massive jump. And it's interesting to know that, yeah, we've made some incredible computers up until now. But now we're, what, like 70 years later? And I don't know.
Exactly.
What the fuck are these things doing, really?
All we've got is we got sex PS4. Robots in Japan.
Not even good ones.
No. Not even close to good
no,
ones.
No, if they were good ones, we would already have them here. Everyone would own one.
Exactly. Oh, 100%. half our coworkers would own one, guaranteed. One guy specifically, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Lord.
God. We probably know like 10 people that would have them.
Easily. I mean, I'd have one. So, just for fun. Just like, I just want to try it out. Before I make fun of it, I want to know what it's like. That'd be my philosophy. No, I
wonder what would change, though, if you knew there was a simulation. And that was a big part of what they were trying to get at.
I don't know. Would anything change?
I mean, would you feel less real?
I don't think so. I don't think I could feel any less real than I already do.
Does it depend on how the simulation is made, right? So let's say it was made three different ways.
Right.
One, you're the dream of an alien. But like, however this alien dreams, it just like dreams an entire universe into existence.
Right.
And their dreaming could be 8 hours, whatever, but it's the entire length of the universe. If that's one way, okay?
Sure.
The next way is there's a supercomputer inside a cell phone.
Right.
And it's just an app. That's it. And some asshole teenager owns it in another dimension.
Right.
And you exist within that. Or thirdly, it is like a moon-size computer where hundreds of thousands of different races of aliens watch it intensely like it's the greatest reality show of all time and you're the star of it.
Right, like we're the Truman Show, but it's kind like of Earth or this universe.
Yeah, but it's mostly just watching you. Like other stuff's going on, but they don't give a fuck about, you know, 10 light years away. There's just nothing.
I guess the real question it would come down to, and I feel like this is a philosophical question that humanity's been asking since the dawn of time, is like, are they manipulating the simulation, or are they just observing the simulation? If they're manipulating it, I have a bone to pick. If they're just observing, then it really doesn't change anything, you know what I mean? We're just, here we are. I mean,
yeah,
that's philosophy. Here we are. Why do we exist?
It makes sense that they... You technically, by definition, you have to have manipulated it to even make it, because you got to put the program.
True, in. Yeah. So,
however, the program's created
by simply creating it is a manipulation. But if it's simply like a beginning point, okay, so we've created it. Now let's watch it go, kind of like a science experiment in, you know, biology in high school, you know, kind of things. You get the algae growing, and then that's it. You watch it go. I don't know.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So you're saying, are they stopping in every... Are they, like, literally fucking with the elections type of manipulation?
Right.
That would
make sense.
Well...
Be like, oh,
yeah, but why?
To watch
why them. Have it be 4 billion years long? Or how long... How old is your universe? 13.8 billion years? Why have something go that long?
Yeah, and then... I know. I mean, there's been some shit.
And then fuck with little things.
I mean, but... Who knows? I mean, and in this simulation, so the entire universe is a simulation, not just like what we're experiencing. So, like, there's so many more interesting things happening out there than like what in the hell we're doing in Los Angeles, California. That's for damn sure. I mean, there's supernova going off. There are black holes, planets and stars being formed, like quantum physics, all that's manipulation. That's fascinating. Like, you and me running a podcast, that's probably not, they're probably, we're probably not like, we're not even like on the main cable lineup. We're just like the digital add-on. Like, we have a YouTube channel. Like, Earth is just the YouTube channel that six aliens subscribe to. Something like that.
No, I disagree.
Really?
I disagree. Yeah, I think that a supernova is cool, but how many of those does a super smart race that creates a simulation need to study to understand what it's doing? They all obey the laws of physics, right? So do we, doing a podcast. But no, it's probably way harder to calculate what you're about to say and what I'm about to say and then how we decide on something than it is measure a black hole. Now, that sounds crazy. I'm not trying to make it seem really amazing. Any of the things that we say, believe me, it's not. But there's probably more random parameters.
Right.
I bet it takes, in a weird way, more processing. Because you have to, you know, it's not just like the ball falls off the table and then it goes a certain speed based on gravity and hits the ground and maybe makes a dent or maybe doesn't. Sure. But it's going to do that all over the universe. It'd be happen in the same way. I think if they're fucking with little bits here and there, it would be more like that thing on... You ever watch Star Trek, the Voyager one?
Yes.
Yeah, they had the robot lady, the Borg. She was hot, big old titties.
Yeah, 709. Yeah.
Exactly. There we go. I knew you'd know that. So she used to run this like lab that could do simulations.
Right.
But they would just, it would just be like a snippet. It's almost like when we report recording the podcast, if I just pause it and then rewind a bit and then play that to see what happened, or delete it and then start it again.
Start it again.
That would be a better way of changing parameters, because otherwise, if you're constantly changing things, what are you even left with?
Right.
You've fucked with like every election, and then you're like, oh, well, now, of course, some idiot's in charge, because we've been constantly fucking with this thing.
And manipulated to what point? I mean, other than seeing how the simulation reacts to stimuli, like the creatures or whatever, the subjects of the simulation, how they react
kinda,
to certain
yeah.
stimuli. So, you know.
Because if you keep fucking with it, you're going to be unsure if the only reason they acted this way was because of the last five times that you fucked with it.
Right.
So maybe that's not how we would have responded anyway, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
If, like, every conspiracy of the government, like 9/11 or the fucking Roswell shit, if each time that was just the creators of the simulation coming in and fucking with things,
right.
Well, dude, you've created like massive conspiracy theory lunatics that have pretty good podcast numbers, and none of that would have happened if you had only made one of these things exist. Oh, one of these things happened.
This is
I don't know. I was on a plane. I was on a plane when I listened to this, and
I think we should have been stoned.
I'd been drinking. But you know what happened? My plane was delayed.
Right.
So
oh, yes, I do remember.
I did my edible early, and it was kind of wearing off by the time I got to the airport. So
yes.
I was just drinking vodka and listening to it. I think that's why my notes suck. I think that's why. But overall, I was most intrigued by how frustrated Joe was getting with it. I don't think he liked it, like hearing it or trying to understand it. I think it frustrated him. I think it in a way, when we hear it, it makes us feel less special, less important, or that the things that we do have no meaning, and that sucks.
I understand his frustration. I'd probably be equally frustrated. Philosophers are frustrating.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, this is a 4 out of 10 for me. I don't know if I want to listen to this guy speak again.
That's a long time to talk about that shit, too.
Yeah. He couldn't give examples to Joe to, like, get him over the hump of understanding either. And I think I've always heard that if you can't make your theory really simple, you don't understand it.
Yeah. Well, you're the scientist, so that makes sense.
Well, I don't know. I'm not much of anything, but you know, it's like E=mc². So genius.
100%.
The dude made it so simple.
Yeah
it wasn't a formula that took like 4.5 hours to say. He made it fucking simple.
Super simple.
Smartest guy ever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, taking the same kind of energy in this thought process, and we've kind of worn each ourselves out thinking about this nonsense.
Yep.
But next up is Dan Aykroyd.
Woohoo!
Right? Podcast 1351. I know. How fucking great is it to have Dan Aykroyd on the podcast?
I love Dan Aykroyd so hard. I miss Dan
Aykroyd.
He's
so good, man.
He's the best.
Favorite Dan Aykroyd movies? Go. Top three.
Top three. Ghostbusters. Great Outdoors. Jeez, not Caddyshack 2, that's for sure. what's another great Dan Aykroyd movie? Trading Places. Easy. Problem solved.
Mm.
Ghostbusters, nice. Trading Places, and Great Outdoors. Love those movies.
He has so many when you really break it down.
So
Ghostbusters
many.
For me, number one.
Yeah.
Blues Brothers, number two.
Uh-huh.
Though sometimes Blues Brothers is number one. It depends what kind of mood I'm in and how many cop cars I want to see smashed together. And then I really like Dragnet. And that's a bit of
Dragnet
an obscure one.
Great.
But I really enjoyed Dragnet.
He's so
good
in that movie,
I watched it so
man.
Many times as a kid, yeah. He's such a like perfect straight-laced. Just two brilliant actors.
Oh my really. God, yes. And he was so good on SNL, too, man. He did characters in a way nobody really has done since. Like, maybe Bill Hader's the closest. But, like, I mean, his Jane, you ignorant slut. I mean, that kind of is, you know, filthy Cronkite character. He's just, like, man, nobody, the Bass-O-Matic. Like, nobody did stuff like that. He was such a showman. He was great. Oh, he was the best. Great.
Yeah.
Really damn good writer, too, man. He and Harold Ramis wrote Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2 together, and like they're good damn writers.
This podcast, because of how many names of like alien abductions and sightings and people that he could just pull out of his brain so fast,
right?
You know, whether you think he's a bit of a loon or not, I mean, you can tell he's got an excellent memory. You know, I don't know if it's photographic, but it's like he supposedly never even fluffed the line ever in SNL. Was like perfect,
I believe,
with his retention, and it seems to make sense because some of his characters were even similar to that anyway. You know,
sure.
Like he pulled off being a doctor on Ghostbusters, maybe better than anyone. I think what was his name? Egon?
No, he was Ray. Raymond Stance.
No. But the other guy was also like,
Egon.
You could believe he was a scientist.
Egon Spengler.
Too.
That was,
Egon, yeah.
So, Harold
but
Ramis.
those two were definitely the best scientists.
Absolutely.
Seeming, just because they're like that kind of like clever, fast speaking nerds anyway.
Exactly.
Super smart guy. And I'm a massive fan. I mean, this dude in a lot of ways shaped my childhood along with other great comedians. But God, even Coneheads was fucking good.
Yep. You played, there was a movie with James Garner and Jack Lemmon called My Fellow Americans, and Dan Aykroyd played the president. And he cracked my shit up in that movie. And it was just like, it wasn't a big part, but he was so damn funny in it. He played the Southern idiot president. Oh, he was the best. I love Dan Aykroyd. He's a great national treasure.
And it's only in the last, well, really since Netflix came out and, you know, just scrolling through all the UFO documentaries, did I start to notice that he was like popping up in there.
Uh-huh.
Like he loves fucking aliens. Well, he doesn't love fucking aliens, but he loves them. He loves aliens.
You meant it more as you meant it as an adverb, not an adjective, not a verb.
Maybe I didn't. I don't know how much he loves aliens.
He might love fucking aliens.
Yeah. It was Freudian, but it might be right there. It's very interesting to me. You know, he's obviously a smart guy, but he's chosen this, like, path.
Right.
Of like, he's had a lot of sightings. Talked about him on the podcast. Not sure if, like, one of them he even described as looking like a glowing inflatable mattress floating around a hotel making no noise.
Right.
And just, I don't know. Some of them could just be, like, a weird angle and wanting to believe. I think that we see so much weird shit that if we don't stop for a second and really pay attention to it, and we're already in the mindset of like accepting that everything's aliens, we're probably going to see a lot of what we think are aliens.
Right. Well, it also comes down, I've been thinking about this a lot. what we want to believe in, too. There's such an excitement and enthusiasm about wanting to believe these things that sometimes we want to believe things that might not be there. We want to accept that explanation without a lot of empirical data because that's what we want. It would be fun. It would be enjoyable to believe this stuff. Having said that, I believe in aliens for sure.
Well, believing in aliens is one thing, but thinking that they come here, that's where, mm-hmm. you know, it's such a weird thing. Like, if you look at it like a spectrum, so it's almost like the smarter right. you are, the more you have to believe that somewhere, because of the infinite expanse of the universe and the just how fucking big it is, probably, right? Something. Even if you're just talking...
Well, the probability is, yes.
Yeah, yeah, even if you're just exists, talking yeah. that it's microbial. Like in the ice.
Exactly.
Like watery bits of ice on some fucking planet billions of miles away. Like, yeah, why not? But then the spectrum yeah. goes to, is there another bit of life?
Have
like
they visited?
Like us. No, but even like even yeah. less than that. Just mm-hmm. that they exist. They're like us. They can't communicate with anyone because right. they're too far away. And that exists. All right. Mm-hmm. Could be too. Or another planet with just like, you know, mold on it. Even that is like something. But then to have yeah, it so absolutely. it's spacefaring and can get to us and has decided to mostly not speak to us and is fucking making deals with the government and they've left us some ships and they're actually like altering our DNA to change things. I mean, that's a big fucking spectrum.
That's a big jump. Yeah,
but they kind of yeah. throw you all in, you know,
yeah. Well, especially because I work on a lot of these shows. I work on, like, Ancient Aliens and a show called Contact and a bunch of other stuff. I hope I'm not violating my NDA right now. Please don't sue me for $3 million.
Sue him.
But, take everything I have. Joke's on you. I have nothing. except this nice new microphone. Yeah, they lump it all together. There's some whack-ass theories out there that people come up with. I mean, pulling them out of their ass. And then there's more interesting theories that come from like empirical data and stuff like that, that I tend to find more credible than just somebody come up with just, well, they call them theories. They're not even fucking theories. They're hypotheses. It's just like somebody had an idea and they're like, how about this? Based in nothing except, oh, I'm being creative. That I don't really get behind it, but I do definitely, I definitely think we've been visited by them. I've working on all these shows, seen some of this shit. I'm like, I think some shit went down.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if there's government cahoots. I don't know if I believe in ancient astronaut theory, any of that. But the idea that, you know, with the just listening to stuff with Bob Lazar and some other things and talk of that. I kind of get the feeling maybe they've
yeah. Bob Lazar was very compelling, but I think that right.
Very.
You work on this stuff, you know, but you work on it in the TV way. Like, it's not like you're a scientist
exactly.
at a lab working on weird messes, no. but you know you get
true.
You get to hear what things are happening, and then put these shows together and whatever.
I get to hear all the shit that never makes it to air, too.
That's cool as well. So, but check this out. Mm-hmm. If you also worked on nothing but Bigfoot shows, all those fucking Ghost Hunter shows, I wonder if it's also one of those things. It's like the more you hear about it, no matter how illogical and ridiculous it is, you might be like, okay, I'm more inclined to believe that now. Because it only takes a couple of pieces of logical shit, and then you can kind of get hooked. Just a thought.
As a matter of fact, I do work on Bigfoot shows, and I don't believe in Bigfoot.
Okay, that blows that theory, but I just wanted to throw it out there.
No, I don't. You know, no, that is a phenomenal theory, and there's absolutely a lot of credence to that, that the more you hear about it and stuff like that. But the shit I hear about Bigfoot, I'm like, nah, y'all are crazy.
Yeah.
Y'all just straight up crazy.
I knew you'd like this podcast because of how much... of the shit that you already work on, Dan Aykroyd, Dan was talking about. Yeah, he was talking about Bigfoot too and believing that it exists. And what are your thoughts
There's
on that?
Fucking crazy ass theory. There are so many crazy ass theories. Some people think it's like an interdimensional being that exists as like orbs as well. But when it transitions over to our dimension, it's like an actual beast and things like that. They talk about, I mean, they tie that back to like the Yeti. Have you ever heard about this expedition in the Himalayas and like the Russian expedition to the Himalayas in like the 50s or 60s, where this whole expedition was completely murdered and dismembered and things like that? And they think it was the Yeti, and they think that maybe the Yeti was guarding some interdimensional portal. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here with this shit.
That's like, polar bears, bro.
Something went down. It's probably polar bears, right? And they will eat your ass because they're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Bigfoot shit, man, that's just... Well, because here's the thing. We've seen, like, you have the USS Nimitz incident in terms of, like, you have these Navy fighter pilots that have video of UFOs on a technical level. They are unidentified flying objects. They are things that they don't know how they did what they did in the sky. And they throw out every possible explanation for, like, it could have been light, they could have been hallucinating, you throw out everything. But you got video of some shit going down. You got video from New Mexico. I mean, I've seen a lot of the raw footage of this stuff for these shows. And you've got all that stuff. You don't really have that with Bigfoot. Or, like, the Loch Ness Monster. You don't have that. What you have is sightings. You have people talking about it. You maybe have, I mean, because any of the video you've seen of Bigfoot has all been confirmed to be, like, fake. Like, the famous videos of Bigfoot, they've all been staged and shit like that. There's none of that for Bigfoot. There's some stuff that you see on video that could possibly be alien spacecrafts that is very difficult to come up with an explanation about how these crafts did that, without saying that they are of some superior technology that can allow them to maneuver in ways that we can't even like imagine. And then you listen to Bob Lazar, you talk about Moscovium and that stuff and how it's a gravity engine and the way, and I was like, well, if you can manipulate gravity, you can make those 90 degree turns on a whim. Because if you're manipulating gravity, there's no centrifugal force to fight against you, so you can make those 90-degree turns without completely destroying your back. I mean, you start thinking about that, and it's like, one plus one starting to equal two here. Like, Bigfoot, like, you're pulling shit out of your ass if you think it's an interdimensional being. But, I don't know. That's where I'm coming from. That's what's convinced me. My brother and I argue about it all the time because he doesn't believe in it at all. And he's smarter than me.
Yeah.
He's smarter.
It's a funny comparison, though, if you think about, like, you...
It is.
You're pretty adamant, right? Just... And, you know, this isn't the fucking hill you're dying on, either. You're not running for election.
No.
But you have pretty strong feelings about it not existing. And it's almost like a frustration with... almost powered by the frustration with the people that do believe in it, right? And I'm the same way. I get worked up about shit I don't care about,
yeah.
Really care all that much about, because I just get annoyed that other people are so adamant about it. And I'm like, that doesn't fucking make any sense.
Well, there's no way. That's the thing. There's no evidence. There's no, like,
that's
I've
a big
seen
part
video
of
UFOs. Like, I've seen. Now, there's a possibility that something else did it. It could have been a fucking highly evolved bird or something pulling shit out of my ass right now, just like these shows. But, I mean, there's a possibility that something else could have done
most
it.
Most of those videos are just, like, weird light reflections, a fucking tin disc thrown into the air. Like, if they are there, right, and I believe that... So I'm kind of with you. I think that some of those videos probably are something. But most of them are garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are just fucking, right, like, light reflecting weird. But you're right. There's zero on the Bigfoot. Yet somehow, we are more likely to believe that a race way smarter than us created interdimensional fucking vehicles with a bunch of technology we can't even comprehend, came all the way here thinking that we're interesting enough to look at, try and hide themselves from us, somehow failed a bit, so we've seen them a little bit, And we believe that shit way more than the fact that there might be a giant monkey in the woods somewhere. That's kind of funny in that direction.
It is kind of funny. Well, I mean, to your point about how, like, some of the aliens kind of failed, think about where you work, you at home. Think about your coworkers. There's always that one guy that fucks everything up, that one idiot. Why should aliens be any different? They're like, oh, fucking, did you hear we crashed? Oh, who was it piloting? Stanley? Yep, Stanley, that fucking idiot. I kept telling everybody, don't let Stanley take the Earth mission. He's going to crash, and now they know about
Stanley
it.
Stanley is his, like, alien name.
It's just, but yeah, Stanley, the fucking moron alien that had no business flying. But they, you know, they needed people because they were
like, oh no, Morgan. Wait, Morgan Blog, like, was flying? Morgan Blog. Jesus.
Morgan Blog. Oh, he's going to tell him everything.
He's not even allowed to use the replicator. Fuck's sake. No wonder he crashed.
Why should aliens not have a moron amongst them, yeah, just like us?
Good point. Good fucking point. That's true. So, here's the thing, right? Now, and memory is so squirrely that you can't really know what you remember. But there was a time when I was real young. I must have been like 6 or 7. I kind of always throw that age out as like the youngest age that I would remember doing things. I never say I'm younger because I can't remember how young you can be and still like fucking run around and make thoughts and remember things. I don't know. That sounds stupid, but I was about 6.
No, I'm with you.
And we were in a field. It was nighttime. All the parents were, because it was like a festival for like, my dad was a big hippie, so it was like Greenpeace or something. And they were just having a good time. Sure. They were drinking. They were having fun. And we were just like running around this field in the back. Now, I lived in Gloucestershire in England. And that's fairly close to like Stonehenge area. And actually, there's quite a lot of UFO sightings in that area. They were cropped, a lot of crop circles too. And so there's like, for the UFO people, that's like a high, you know, energy spot for these sorts of things. And I'm in this field and I'm looking up and we were with a bunch of kids. I remember that. There were loads of us. And we saw these three lights. And then when it started to, they moved, they like turned kind of clockwise, I believe. Could have been, I don't know, one of the ways. It was turning though. And it was covering the stars up. And by doing that, you could kind of make out its shape. Because, you know, when there's enough stars and you're in a dark place, like this universe, the sky is kind of like brighter than something that would be in front of it in a weird way.
Right.
And we could see it, and everyone stopped. Everyone, all the kids. And we were like, holy fuck, do you see that? We probably didn't say holy fuck, but we were amazed. And there was a good amount of us, probably 10 of us. And we were like, whoa, oh my God. And it just zoomed off. And I shit you not, it made no noise, and it just disappeared. One of those big triangle ones. And this is before I ever saw video of those triangle ones. Like, we all know them now from like YouTube and other things, but this is fucking,
yeah, the triangle one's a big one.
This is like 32 years ago. I had no idea, and I remember it like it really stuck with me. And we all ran to the tents, right, where our parents were. I mean, we ran like we have just discovered God. And I remember thinking, because everyone was like, oh, that's aliens, and we were running, and I remember thinking to myself, holy shit, we have found aliens, and we're going to go and tell our parents, and they're going to go, oh my God, you guys did? And then believe us.
You guys found aliens.
And then that's it. Like, aliens are discovered, and we know. I open the door. I start yelling at my dad. My dad's been drinking and still partying and having a great time. And he turns around. He's like, oh, quiet kids. Oh, these kids and their imagination. And I remember walking away from that tent being so disillusioned at how quickly we were dismissed. And yeah, we're just kids. We probably didn't see shit. And if my kids did the same thing, I'd probably ignore them in the same way, because I'm worried about my fucking making my next mortgage payment and just trying to have a good time with my buddies.
Of course.
But sticks in my brain. I remember that. And I remember, I think what the makes triangle, it seem real is how many other people were there. Even though they're all kids, but...
Well, yeah.
Like, we fucking saw it.
There have been a lot, man. There have been a lot. You know, and for everybody listening at home, if you're curious about it, look up the Nimitz incident, look up the Tic Tac, and look up the Arizona Lights. Those are the big three that I keep hearing a lot about, that a lot of people don't have explanations for. A lot of, especially the Nimitz one. And I didn't really get to read much about it, but last week, or maybe earlier this week, the U.S. Navy confirmed that they have three separate videos of what they deem unidentified flying objects. Objects in the sky, they recorded that they have no explanation for it, that they don't know what they were. They flat admitted it, but then Trump did some crazy bullshit and then nobody heard about it. But it was like, it was like this week, I think it was Monday. Like, look that up. It's pretty interesting set.
Huh.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But nothing about Bigfoot.
I wish we would. Yeah, right. Nothing about Bigfoot still. I wish there wasn't the stigma, though. I wish we were more open-minded. You know, it still is like this. Oh, you're one of those guys. I bet you also believe in these other nine stupid conspiracies. And, you know, plenty of UFO people do. But I wish we were like, I wish that was always front page news. Like, look, not to freak you guys out, but we saw this. It came from a fucking fighter jet. Make your own minds up, but we're going to kind of follow up on it. Like, it seems important.
That's the problem, too, because when you have these conspiracy nuts, they do lump everything together. So you take the crop circles and the videos and the pyramids and everything, and they lump it all together, and then it just becomes this far-fetched, ridiculous nonsense. You're like, all you have is just what you want it to be. Like, you have zero evidence for it. Versus, like, if it was just like, ooh, we've seen some evidence and we have no logical explanation for this. Like, we can't come up with anything right now. That's worth it investigating. And then when somebody starts on it, they're interdimensional beings and they've come to stop the Hadron Collider. It's like, well, okay, put your tinfoil hat back on, buddy, and go to take a nap. You know, and they get lumped together. I think that's one of the reasons that it's so discredited. Or not given credence, rather.
Sure. Well, you don't want to fill in the gap. Like, there's obviously a lot of unanswered questions. So when somebody's like, well, there's nine different races, and they've come in to talk to the lizard people, and I'm like, dude, hold on. You know, scientists don't know this much about uranium. And that's something we can study. No. So how the fuck do you know so much about this shit?
Because they read it on the internet, they want it to be true.
Nah, it's fun, man. People want to feel special.
It's tons of fun. It's tons of fun, no doubt. I wish it were true. This stuff is fascinating and fun and a blast to imagine. I wish it were true,
dude. It would be.
But I can't confuse what I wish was true with what probably is true.
It would be fucking awesome. If we came across something that exists. I was reading something this morning about a new probe thing that's landed on Mars. It landed November 2018. And it has some cool devices on. So it has this thing that measures, like, seismology, you know, like the earthquakes and shit. So it's like a little disc.
Sure.
Then it has another temperature probe that drills down, like, 16 feet. And can take and would check the temperature changes through the planet, you know, through the seasons. And then there's another device that I think it checks the wobble during the rotation. And if a planet, like planets spin on an axis and they often will not spin on a perfect axis. So they they kind of turn off, but that's not what the wobble is. Okay, that's just not like a super centered axis of rotation. The wobble is where it wobbles as it spins around. So if you've got something moving, it kind of shakes, which according to this article means that there's liquid. It has a liquid inner core, right? It could be lots of different types of liquid. It could be magma, like how the Earth has it. It's not like oceans in there doing this. It's like molten rock. It's going to tell us a lot about what's going on inside Mars.
Isn't the prevailing theory of Mars the one of the reasons it's is as it is right now is it lost its it lost its core, like went dead or something, like, because it, so it has no electromagnetic field, so it just, it lost its atmosphere, got bombarded by all the radiation from the sun type thing.
Yeah.
Isn't that the theory?
But it's exactly, but it makes it so fun, and I think that's why people get so behind it. I think that's why Dan Aykroyd is so pumped with it. You know, it's not just because of things that are happening with Mars, but I mean, you've got Elon Musk doing the same thing. It just is super inspiring, and we want to believe in something way cooler than this fucking day-to-day, our life, elections, next job. Let's fucking find some goddamn aliens already. I think that's how we're going to finish this podcast.
Interesting.
But I...
Yes.
This was a big...
I challenge all of you out there to go find aliens.
Please, let us know. Get some good footage. We got better phones now. The Pixel 4 is coming out. We should be able to film
better.
Something.
Yeah. Absolutely. We'll be able to take pictures of aliens on the moon.
Oh. Yeah, this is what we're looking for. We want something exciting like this. This is where Dan's at. I'm so glad that he came on. I hope he comes on again. He's got a vodka that he's selling that he's super behind, so buy that shit. It sounds really good. But yeah, that's where we are. And I give this one a high mark. To me, this podcast, shit, man, I loved it. It was 8 out of 10, and I love how, you know, just how fucking smart and interesting he was. What do you give this, Mark?
Yeah. 9 out of 10.
Love it. Love it. Thanks as always, guys. I appreciate it. And talk to you soon. Cheers, Mark.
Cheers, bro.